and that the sailboat is guided by the wind, right? And its speed and velocity is determined by its how in alignment with the wind it is. And that kind of stuck with me because I thought it's very apropos. He's cleaning out the cobwebs and the dust, and he's also guiding us. I'm having all manner of technical difficulties this morning. If you need to turn on iCloud. Jed, does it mess you up if I have my notes up like this?
Nope.
Oh, perfect. The Lord guides me. Let me collect my thoughts. I wanted to talk about the Spirit of the Lord. I often wonder about my role as a pastor, my role as a teacher, and a father. What exactly does a pastor do? What exactly would a good father do? I watched, this was years ago when I wasn't as loving as I am now, and there was this news report on a megachurch pastor who had gotten a private jet. I don't know if you've heard of a private jet, and he was going to fly from place to place spreading the gospel, and they found out that he was like flying to some other, you know, Cancun, Mexico. None of my business. But I often wonder, like, as a pastor, what amount of time should I be praying for people? What amount of time should I be reading the scripture? What amount of time should I be doing X, Y, Z? And it's getting harder to do some of those things because of all of the additional things that I've been asked to do, which I'm happy to do. But then I thought, like, well, how am I supposed to go and pray for Harjeet when I've got all these meetings and all of these jobs? Speak of the devil. That was one of my friends calling from that I met last night. Let's call him afterwards. And I get worried to the point of, I have been worried as to, am I doing my job sufficiently well? But I've gotten close enough in my walk with the Lord that I know that worry is not from him. And so I reassure myself that my prayer time and my alignment with his Spirit will reveal to me what I need to do in the future. And so I can judge how in alignment I am with the rushing wind of the Father by seeing the state of my boat. Did that make sense? Jesus says you can recognize a tree by its fruit. So if my life is filled with worry and anxiety and bitterness, well, what fruit, what tree does that come from? It comes from the bad fruit, the bad tree. If my life is filled with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control, then I know that I'm acting in accordance with his will and that my life is producing good fruit. Did that make sense? So the Spirit of the Lord is guiding me, and I analyze my life, thoughts, and actions to see if I'm doing what he would have me do. You see, everybody believes that they are right. Or most people believe they're right. Most people don't think, well, I'm a terrible person, but I'm still going to do this anyways. People believe they are right and that they are the ones who are behaving accordingly. But obviously, we can't all be right. One of us needs to change our position a little bit. So the disciples. When we get back to the original church, the disciples are following Jesus, and a wonderful thing is happening. Jesus is giving them power to do things and sending them out to show people the kingdom of God. Luke chapter 9, verses 46 through 56. An argument started among them as to which of them might be the greatest. But Jesus, knowing what they were thinking in their heart, took a child and stood him by his side. And he said to them, "Whoever receives this child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. For the one who is least among all of you, this is the one who is great." So already, Jesus knows what's in their heart, and that's what he's concerned with. The disciples still don't get it because they're not acting in the spirit. They're drifting along the sea. And according to traditional thinking, whoever's the top, whoever's the most successful, that's the person who's blessed, that's the person who's right. John answered and said, "Master, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to prevent him because he does not follow along with us." But Jesus said to him, "Do not hinder him, for he who is not against you is for you." When the days were approaching for his ascension, he was determined to go to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers on ahead of him, and they went and entered a village of Samaritans to make arrangements for him. But they did not receive him because he was traveling toward Jerusalem. When his disciples James and John saw this, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them and said, "You do not know what kind of spirit you are of, for the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." And they went on to another village. The disciples still don't get it. So take heart if you find following the Lord complicated. They were actually listening to him and still had trouble. They believed they were right. Dude, they're not doing like we're doing. You want us to burn them up? No, I don't want you to burn them up. You don't know what spirit you are of. They had the power, but they didn't have the understanding of the Lord. That's the problem. The church has been around for 2,000 years, and it's done wonderful things. But it's also done some not so great things. Because you need the Spirit. It's not only the wonderful book, and it's not only the wonderful people. It's also the Spirit of the Lord. The disciples believe they're doing the right thing, but the fruits of their actions show that their heart is not where the Lord would have it be. And so there can be no life in that. Did that track? The Spirit of the Lord is the decoder ring. It's the decipher. It's the code that shows you. Or am I doing the right thing? I had a discussion with Daniel Mabusi, whom I love. And we're dealing with some heavy stuff, taxes and finances and all that kind of stuff. And I felt like we were going in circles. And I was like, "Daniel, this is exhausting." And he's like, "What do you mean?" And I was like, "Nothing, forget it." And he kept on asking me to explain at why I was exhausted. And in my explanation, I could see that I hurt his feelings. And I said, "I'm sorry, Daniel." And he said, "No, it's okay. It's all right. We're just..." No, it's not all right, Daniel. It's not. It's not all right. The Lord revealed to me that I had acted contrary to the way he would have me act. And if I cannot see that and rectify my behavior, get back in the path of the wind, then I can't be a disciple of the Lord. Did that make sense? It would be very easy for me to justify, "Yeah, well, I am frustrated because we've been talking in circles and I do this all day and blah, 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 A, B, C, Y, N." But that's not the freedom. The freedom comes from when the Lord reveals to me, "You're not acting in accordance with my will." I fix, I redirect. That makes sense? The fact that I had hurt his feelings and that I was feeling guilty, those are not trees of the good fruit. I got to cut them off. If I want to be a disciple of the Lord, I got to be willing to do that. And the better I get at doing that, the more that I live a life that's full of peace and love. It's not about good or bad or right or wrong. "Yeah, Gabe, you were bad. You did mess up. Look at what you did to Daniel. He's just trying to drink his warm vanilla latte. Look what you did. That's not it at all. The Spirit of the Lord just revealed to me the error of my ways. You don't want to be that man. Come, let me show you how to do it. Yes, Lord, that's what I want. That's what I want. Quinceañera, this is how you should do it. Thank you, Lord. Driving in traffic, this is how you should do it. Thank you, Lord. There's so much in the world. There's so much for us to have. There's so much for us to do. And we spend all day, every day, worrying about things we can't change. Don't let your thoughts and behaviors be so entrenched that they cannot be questioned if the Lord is calling you to change. I have strong opinions and views about things, and some of them may be right and true, but I gotta be willing to hold them up to the light. Iron sharpens iron. I hold it up to the light. Is this true, Lord? Is this true? Should I be thinking and behaving like this? Yeah, Gabe, that's good. You can see by it's producing good fruit in your life. Good, put it back. What about this, Lord? That's what's causing you anxiety, Gabe. That's what's causing you bitterness. You gotta let it go. Thank you, Lord. Move forward, move forward. Matthew chapter 16, verse 21 through 24. You've heard this one a million times, so I'm gonna hurry through this one. This is Peter telling Jesus not to go to Jerusalem. Jesus says that he's got to go to Jerusalem. And the disciples know that when he goes there, there's going to be trouble. And he says, I got to die. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid it, Lord. This shall never happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are not setting your mind on God's interest, but man's. Peter's a brave man. He's a wonderful man. He's the first one to get out of the boat and try and walk on the water. He loves the Lord, but he's got so entrenched in his mind what he thinks should happen. No. That's wrong. That's the wrong plan, Lord. You ever do that in your own life? I know I have. I feel the Lord calling me to change something. No, that's probably not right. I probably shouldn't do that. Gabe, I feel like maybe you should start doing this more. And you're like, that's probably not the Lord. I think I should just keep on cruising. Look at your life. Get behind me, Satan. You're a stumbling block. I'm trying to follow him. Anything and everything must be willing to be shown in the light to see the truth of it. Lord, should I continue to be a teacher at Redeemer Christian Academy? If he says no, I've got to get it right. That's the only way I can follow him. What are we doing with the gospel? You accept him into your heart and then you just keep on walking around like everybody else? Is there anything else? Is there anything more? There's so much more. I couldn't even comprehend it. My little mind could not understand. It only grows with awareness as I continue to go. If you told 28-year-old Gabe that he would have more fun at a quinceañera, stone cold sober, sitting with his kids, than taking tequila shots and dancing on the floor. No, Lord, may it never be. Growing, 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 growing. If we all do that same thing, then we will all be the people that the Lord would have us be, and we will get the peace, we will get the happiness. Worked up here, Don, I'm sorry. So where is your heart? Some of the teachers at my school, they have a very similar thought process, and they use the term heart posture. Have you guys ever heard of this? Your heart posture, like, are you behaving and thinking in a way that's receptive to the Lord? Or are you, like, set in your ways? Is your heart open to having the Lord move you forward? When they said that, I'm like, it's good. Heart posture. I'm going to steal it, Mrs. Jacobs, by the way, if you're listening. Where is your heart at? The example that I used earlier, the rich man. From the church, from the synagogue's point of view, the rich man and the poor woman, right? He's bringing boxes of treasures. From the synagogue's point of view, we need the rich man. And it's good and right because you got to pay the bills. But it's not the amount that he's giving us the problem. It's the way in which he's doing it, right? Everybody look at me, blowing the trumpets. You guys know the parable? The rich man comes to bring his offerings to the temple, and he blows the horn, and everybody shows up. And then afterwards, the poor peasant woman comes and gives her 2 pennies in secret. He says also, Jesus says, don't be like the Pharisees who tear their clothes and show a big sign. Be like the woman praying in the quietness of your house. Should I go around to everybody at Trader Joe's that I meet? Tell them that I'm a pastor? Tell them that they need to hear the good news of the gospel? Maybe I should. Still praying about that. When they ask me, I tell them. But I want to be a man of integrity, love, patience, and kindness. The kind of man that is remarkable in a world that's filled with pain. Not for me, so that they can see that. How many people are weary and tired? How could you be weary and tired in a world, right? Anybody who studied history, you pluck a medieval servant and give him your life, and he's doing backflips. My poorest moments, waiting tables, 2 jobs, barely scraping by, is better than 99.9% of every human that's ever lived. But I lived most of my life thinking, woe is me. It cuts me off. It cuts me off from the Lord. Because I'm entrenched, because my heart is not open to the Spirit of the Lord. Please don't take this as an indictment. Take it as encouragement to continue seeking. Because regardless of your age or circumstances, you have all this potential ahead of you. But you gotta be willing to put it on the line. You gotta be willing to look at your life and thoughts. Could it be, Gabe, that maybe you are wrong about politics? Nah. I'm definitely right, Donna. You know who's wrong? Maybe I am right. But I noticed for myself that I would watch these political shows that were an echo chamber of my current set of beliefs. And I thought what I already thought, and I looked for things that echoed my preconceived beliefs. You following? And so I would think this, they would say that, and be like, yeah, you're right, and that would make me think it again, and then I would look for something that would say it, and then I would think again, and brum, 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 brum. There's no growth in that. You're stuck right where you are. I'm not trying to get political, but that's just an example. The Lord was calling me. You spend, every time I'd go on YouTube, I'd find comedians, I'd find shows, I'd find clips, or podcasters, and they would tell me what I wanted to hear. And then I would think like, yeah, dude, I'm right. I'm so right. I love how right I am. I'm the most right anybody's ever been. If you want anything more than what you've got now, you must be willing to lay it on the line. The Spirit of the Lord unlocks the truth and guides us in our way forward. There is wisdom in the world, but it's got to be cross-referenced through prayer and the Spirit of the Lord. My sister went to law school. She's a lawyer. 2 of my sisters. One of them is somewhere else, but that one right there. I know a couple of lawyers. It's no big deal. You just got to surround yourself with people who know. And when you're in law, you can't just make stuff up, I understand. You have to check it with prior rulings. Okay, give me a shake your heads if I'm going out, right? According to Marbury versus the state of New York, says XYZ. Judge is like, sustained. That's how you win in law. So easy. That's what I should have been doing. You got to cross-reference your thoughts, actions, behaviors, and the books and podcasts and everything that you listen to with the Holy Spirit. Because the Bible is the greatest book that's ever been written, but it's extremely complicated. That's why people fight and burn each other over it. So you read the Bible, and then you pray about the scriptures. You cross-reference it. I listen to the podcast, and I may be right about a lot of my political beliefs. But I listen to it, and I think, Lord, is this what I should be doing? And if I'm honest with myself and earnest in my seeking his guidance, he will reveal it to me. Is this true? Seems true. Pray about it. Lord, is it true? It's true. Checks out. Sustained. Sometimes overruled. You're out of order, Gabe. This whole system's out of order. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Paul is setting up churches, but people have a lot of questions. Is it okay to do this? Is it okay to do that? Jude went to the quinceañera last night. We had a wonderful time, but we didn't know, like, I was like, should we, like, bring a gift, or do you, like, show up just, like, in regular clothes? And so we Googled it, do's and don'ts of the quinceañera. It's like, do have fun. Not helpful at all. I was planning on that already. And it's like, don't, like, stand awkwardly on the wall. All right, well, we got two strikes against us already. Do bring a gift. We did. It was classy, Ken. You'd like it. Don't wear the same color dress as the young woman who's in. So Jude shows up, and so we looked, and they said most quinceañeras, like, the young woman wears white. And Jude had a white dress and a red dress. And I said, just wear the red dress. She's like, okay, I don't know. She doesn't like wearing dresses. She only likes wearing huge hoodies, no matter how hot or cold it is. I was like, just wear the red dress, and we got a little, like, black sweater over it. She looked very nice. And then when we got there and Valerie came down, blood red, beautiful flowing dress. And Jude was like, I knew I should have worn the white dress. And she just, like, wouldn't do anything. And, like, Valerie wanted her to come and do, like, they do all these things, and she didn't want to go. And I was, baby girl, how are you going to ever know? Right? You got to cross-reference the quinceañera with the Spirit of the Lord. Judy's do's and don'ts. She was feeling guilt and anxiety. The Lord was calling her out of it. She's getting blasted today, but I don't care. But she wouldn't go. I gave her a life lesson. That should have solved it right then. As far as I know, when young women are feeling anxious and nervous, if the father says, just get over it, that normally solves it, right, Todd? No, didn't work. She was stuck right where she was, right? They're like, just say, hey, I'm sorry, blah, blah, blah. Move on. The Lord is calling us out of our own thoughts, our own misconceptions. So the church is wondering the do's and don'ts of early Christianity. And Paul, having set up the church, moves on, is writing letters back. This is what you should do. This is what you shouldn't do. Don't wear the same dress color as the young woman. Chapter 3, verse 1 through 6. Are we beginning to commend ourselves again, or do we need, as some, letters of commendation to you or from you? You are our letter, written in our hearts, known and read by all men, being manifested that you are a letter of Christ, cared for by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Such confidence we have through Christ toward God. Now that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy in God. We also, who also made us adequate as servants of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. I'm going to come to a close here. The letter itself cannot give life. The Spirit has to give life. Paul's saying it's not the letters of commendation. It's not your diplomas. It's you yourself. When you are behaving in accordance with the Spirit of the Lord, they will see and know. The letter kills if you're only following the letter. Moses was given good news by the Lord, but he wrote it down. Don't cheat on your wife becomes don't cheat on your wife or we'll kill you. Did that make sense? So the Pharisees are searching in the letters, like Paul was before he comes to see the Lord. Search, how do I find the truth? Where is the wisdom? Where's the life? And they're so entrenched, when the Lord of glory stands before them, blind. They can't see it. Because the letter's death. without the Spirit, that without the decoder ring that unlocks the meaning. So Moses is trying to tell the Israelites, it's good to like work on your marriage and have a happy marriage and don't covet your neighbor's wife and don't do this. But because he doesn't have the full knowledge of the Lord, he enforces it through the spirits that are not of from heaven. Did that make sense? Because if they were from heaven, when Jesus came down, he would have stoned the woman. I only do what I see the Father doing. So he's a good representation. Jesus Christ versus the world in the galactic Supreme Court sets precedence. Does that make sense? The last one. This is really going to knock your socks out, Justine. You're going to love this. Analyze the consequences of your life choices to see if they are bearing good fruit. Use those results to see if they reinforce what you believe the Lord is telling you in your prayer time. So, another personal example, I have been feeling out of shape. I've been very busy and stressed out. There are adequate, good, compelling reasons why I am eating so much fried food. I believe the technical term is stress eating. But I can feel the consequences in my life. That makes sense? It's not, I feel the Lord is revealing to me, Gabe, you got to be more dedicated to taking care of the body I created for you. So I'm praying about it. Then I go to practice, Jews practice on Friday, and one of my good friends, Michelle Jones, works at Marie Callender's. And she said, oh, here, I brought you a fresh strawberry pie and Dutch apple pie. Get me behind me, Satan. You're a stumbling block, Michelle Jones. I only had one piece. And then I gave it to the girls. In my life, I felt like I don't have a lot of energy. I was working really hard, and then at night I was eating poorly, and it was affecting my sleep. And so the fruit of my life was revealing to me the error of my ways. And I could feel like, I got to do better about this. I got to do better about this. And then in my prayer time, it would come to me. You got to do better about this, Gabe. You got to take care of yourself. As the barber who cut my hair 2 months ago said, you're no spring chicken. I was, what? Why would that? I don't know why she said that. I forgave her, of course. I could feel the Lord calling to me. The fruit of your current actions, Gabe, are leading to unhappiness. Does that mean that everybody's got to go on a diet because I'm feeling that way? No, of course not. But the Lord is revealing to me personally. If I want to follow him, if I don't, I'm like, yeah, okay, never mind. I'm still going to Jack in the Box today. He still loves me, but I'm right where I'm at. I have to be like a scientist, dispassionately looking at the data. How is your life, Gabe? Extremely good compared to how it was, but there is still room for improvement. I know it's hard to believe, Connie, but even I have room for improvement in my thoughts, minds, and actions. My heart still has room to grow. So I, like a scientist, look at the data. If the happiness of the Oreo cookie shakes outweighed the lethargy that they brought on, then I would stick with them. But the Lord has revealed to me. If I'm driving in traffic and my anxiety got me there so much faster that it was worth it, then I wouldn't have to think it over. But because I couldn't drive in traffic without making myself angry, I had to look to the Lord. You gotta let it go. Matthew 23:22. This is the last thing we're gonna write. Matthew 23:22-26. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint, dill, and cumin, and have neglected the weightier provisions of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. But these are the things you should have done without neglecting the others. You blind guides who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and of the dish, but inside they are full of robbery and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and of the dish, so that the outside of it may become clean also. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which on the outside appear beautiful, but inside they are full of dead men's bones and uncleanness. Now, I don't know if he was ranting and raving at the Pharisees. I don't think so. The Lord of love probably was explaining to them in a loving way the error of their ways. The Pharisees and the scribes had a tradition. They did it the way their fathers did it, the way their fathers did it, the way their fathers did it. And they lived life the same way. And they did not have life, and they could not recognize life. They had become blind. They were so concerned with the letter saying, don't work on the Sabbath, that when Jesus and his disciples are harvesting grains to snack on along the road, they're so concerned with the letter and not at all concerned with the spirit. So Jesus is saying, you got it all wrong. You got it all wrong. And so the Pharisees lived their whole life blind, stumbling, grasping about in the darkness. Woe to you, Gabe, you hypocrite, because you live your life A, B, and C. Teach me, Lord. Who is the greatest among us, Lord? You must make yourself like a child, teachable. Charlie looks to her mother and father for guidance. This is how you're supposed to do it, Charlie. Well, maybe not in Legend of Zelda. She's got that covered. This is how you should do your homework. This is how you should brush your teeth. This is how you should clean your room. This is how you should behave in class. That's how I want to be. Lord, help me. This is how you do it, Gabe. This is how you live your life. I don't praise him because he wants praise. I praise him because he saved my life. I don't follow him because he wants me to spread the gospel. I follow him because I'm dying without him. I don't love him because I don't want to go to hell. I love him because he's the best thing in my life, and I wouldn't give it up for anything. The Spirit of the Lord, the way, the truth, and the life. Follow him. Follow him. Follow him. Find ways and means of following him. And take time out of your schedule to look at your life. When somebody cuts you off in traffic, take a moment. Why am I angry at this person? How is my anger helping me? And then if the Lord tells you to let it go, let it go. And he will lead you into every good thing, regardless of your job or your marriage or your kids or your finances. He will lead you, but you must be willing to do what he asks you to do. Jude says, I'm going to get on honor roll this year. She missed it the last two quarters by having one too many B's. You have to have only two B's. I'm going to get on honor roll this year. Okay, Judy, you got to turn off Fortnite and go do your homework. Nah. Love her to death. That ain't the way to honor roll, my sweet. Got to be willing to do it. The Lord is calling me, and I'm listening. He's calling you. 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 He's calling you right now. He's calling you on Monday, regardless of your age. He's calling you. You're the light of the world. Not the light of the world because I work at Trader Joe's. That's just a bonus. Oh, light of the world because I'm the Son of God. He calls and I follow. And I have reaped rewards like I couldn't even believe. So good, Steve. Dang, it's so good. So we're going to take some communion. Jed, I hope you're having a wonderful time in Portland. They fought and fought and fought about the nature of communion. Catholics believe in transubstantiation because the Bible says it. Protestants did not believe in transubstantiation, and they fought and fought and fought. The letter is death, the spirit. If you believe in transubstantiation, good on you. If you don't, right on. The Spirit of the Lord will lead you to the truth of it. We take communion because we want to make the Lord the center of our lives. We want his winds to fill our sails and explore new horizons. And I take it to show myself and remind myself, the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. Now I'm just going to wait here for one of the musicians to come and play music. You can't just take communion quietly. I'll do like a mime show. I was dug in a box, Steve. I'll pull it a rope. Grandma! I see a little hustle. I'm just joking. You got 2 for 1. So if you would like to take communion, you may. You don't have to be a member of this church. All you have to do is believe that the Lord is the source of life and peace. I'm going to pray over it and then take communion, and you're welcome to come and help yourself afterwards. Emilio will sing a song and you will be dismissed to the greatest Sunday ever. Thanks, Mom. Thank you.